Yeah, bless all the saints in Zion. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. You've said everything. What else can I say to you? We should be those whom the Lord can speak to on a daily basis. The way is free, as it says in Hebrews. The way into the most holy place has been made free for us. Everyone can go in. But there are prerequisites for this. We need the cleansing. Our heart, our conscience has to be sprinkled. Our heart has to be sprinkled from an evil conscience. Often we have no sense. We have done so many things out of ourselves, out of the flesh, and then we want to go into the most holy place. Then we don't hear anything. It's no wonder that many people have said it's so hard to hear the Lord. Do you think the Lord has spoken to you in such a soft voice where at the end you hear nothing? Look at John. He was on the island of Patmos. Did the Lord speak to him in a soft voice? What do you think, Sharon? No. A voice that was like a trumpet. The Lord spoke to him as a trumpet. It was so as loud as a great trumpet. I think he was shocked. If someone were to speak to me as loud as a trumpet, I would be shocked. Or would you not be shocked? Today, a brother in the meeting, he brought a horn with him, and then everyone, he blew into this horn, and everyone was shocked. So if I were to ask all of you, are you shocked when the Lord speaks to you? Shocked? Do you think the Lord just speaks nice things to us? Look at what the Lord spoke to the seven churches. Did he speak nice things? Every time that he spoke to the churches, it was shocking for them. It seemed to me as if he had nothing good to say. So, do you think the Lord has something good to say in terms of how we are? I ask myself. And ask yourself, be honest. Do you think he has something good to say about you? Yeah, praise the Lord. Roland, praise the Lord for Roland. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm always happy to see Roland. I also am happy when I see you. Hallelujah. Why are you so happy? Because many have gone this way, but you and I are one of some of the few who are still here, and that's why we're happy and we rejoice. Hallelujah. Right, Sandra? Sandra is also still here. Praise the Lord. That's why I always am glad when I see Sandra, because all the rest are gone, have disappeared, but Sandra is still there. We're still here. Isn't this a joy? So we all want to hear his speaking, or do you just want to hear a message? Or do you want the Lord to hear to speak to hear the Lord speaking you directly? As he spoke directly to the churches, like to the church in Ephesus, like to the church in Pergamon, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Laodicea. Did he speak good things? When the Lord speaks about me, does he have only good things to say? The Lord speaks the truth. His speaking is often medicine for us, to heal us, to expose us, to bring things to light. Look at how the prophet spoke. Did they always speak a nice message? A good message? Why were they unloved or not favored? We always speak nice messages or give nice messages. Because we all only want to hear nice messages. Right, Mish? We all just want to hear good messages. But the speaking of the Lord has light and is like a sharp, two-edged sword. It is operative. It is living and operative and and exposes all the hidden things within us. And it cuts. This is what we need. A few minutes ago, my wife said, "John, what will you speak tonight?" And I said, "I don't know." It's not a, what I want to speak, but what does the Lord want to speak to us? What does the Lord want to say to us? We all just want to hear positive things. So when the Lord speaks, he doesn't only just say positive things because he wants to help transform us. The speaking of the Lord is very practical. It's very effective, and it cuts through to help us. Only the truth, only the reality can help us. Not a nice message, not an explanation of the Bible. That's nice and good. But it doesn't expose us. It doesn't expose what's in our heart. It can't help us. We need transformation. We need a change. We need medicine. We need healing. I've been so long in the Lord and I've served the Lord, but what about today? At my age, I need more light from the Lord. I want to be perfected. I don't want to remain as I have been. As long as I still am living, I don't want to think I'm going to make it. Of course, we all want to be first fruits. But if you were to ask me, or if you, were to ask me, are you a first fruit? I wouldn't dare say yes. I will only know when I'm really there. When I'm really there. So, as long as I'm still here on the earth in Fountain Valley in my house, I can't purport to that I'm going to be a first fruit on Mount Zion. Yeah, I do not dare to say that I will stand before the throne and not be judged. Imagine that we would all be standing before his judgment seat today. What do you think would be the verdict? What would the judge say to you and to me? It's not about the teaching. It's not about knowledge. I think that after so many years, we have gained a lot of knowledge and we know a lot, but have we lived according to this knowledge? Have we made progress? Is there transformation? The word says from glory to glory. I'm not asking you all to get an answer from you, but you should know yourselves, is the church where you are Zion? Is it glorious? Is it not glorious? But the Lord wants a glorious church. So, what will the Lord get when he comes back? A glorious church? If everyone does what he wants and everyone has his own opinion and everyone goes his own way, that's why we all have to be watchful and be awake when we read the first three chapters of Revelation. The rest of Revelation, of course, is important, but not so directly related to us, or it's chapters 1 to 3 talk about this great high priest who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. Tell me, is the church in Zurich a golden lampstand? Or is it made out of clay? Is it filled with oil? What about Fountain Valley? We have nice meetings, of course. But what does it look like? Does it look like afterwards, after the meetings? Are we golden lampstands? Are we completely out of gold? Have we daily bought gold? Have we paid the price? Have we denied the self so that we would gain and buy oil, gold from the Lord? You spoke about the Ark of Covenant. It really is the most wonderful, the most glorious furniture or object in the tabernacle. How often have you entered in? We all know Hebrews very well. I still remember that when we moved to Stuttgart, when we moved from Frankfurt to Stuttgart, the first word that we had and the fellowship that we had was about the going on and let us go on into the most holy place. But how many really entered into the most holy place? How many really came forward? We saying, we are the Hebrews. Muchang was there, right? Do you still remember this? Do you still remember this word that we spoke about? Well, no, were you also there? Not yet, he said. Oh, I thought you were there already. He said, I came in 1977. 1977. Yeah, coming forward. Yeah, we want to cross every river. Let us enter into the most holy place. How many have not only heard, but have also done and have entered into the most holy place? It's nice to speak about this at the con and to have a conference about it. But it has to be our daily experience. It is important. I think this. The saints in Pforzheim also came for the first time to this conference that we had. Praise the Lord, it is so important. The word is written for us as a warning. Otherwise, we're like the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't come to the Lord. They searched the scriptures, but they didn't come to him so that they would have life. So we don't know everything, but we have seen a lot that the Lord has shown us. But it's not about the knowledge or a small encouragement. Because then after the conference and after the message, everything is over. And then let's move on to the next topic. We go from topic to topic. Look, at the beginning, there were so many. And at the end, the work of the Lord is not a human work. We want to do a great work. But the work of the Lord seems to be, or the work of the Lord is that the more he works, the smaller it is. And at the end, he has only a remnant. I don't want to say that we are fallen. But there's still a part of us, the flesh, that is still there. And if there's no transformation, we'll stay the same. Even if we've been Christians for 80 years or so many years, man always wants to do a great work. But how many did the Lord gain? After he ascended, how many? How many gathered in Jerusalem? 120. And how many are you? At the conference, we were about 120. Oh, so great. So great. No, actually, it's just like what the Lord did, just like the Lord's work. 120. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You have the right number there. Right, Simon? Right, Christine? But the problem is not just the number, but it's about the quality. Of what use is 120 if we're not fully one with the King, one with our head? If he doesn't rule among us. ₩120 is nice. But is the Lord really head over all? Is he the king? Is he the high priest? What does the high priest do? He doesn't give a conference. Think about how he spoke as the high priest to the seven golden lampstands. He exposes our condition. We call him Lord, but is he really our Lord? Head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Look at the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. The first generation all died in the wilderness. They didn't reach the goal. And from the first generation, only two, Joshua and Caleb, entered into the good land. My goodness. Is that glorious? What do you think? Out of almost 2 million, only two? At the time of Noah and his family, there were only eight who entered into the ark. So, by this, we recognize what does the Lord seek? What does he lo is he looking for? What does he want? What does the Lord want to have? He wants to have a kingdom of priests. It's not easy. Look at what happened at the time of the Old Covenant. The time of David and Solomon. It was so glorious, wonderful. But then after that, it went downhill. And they all ended up in Babylon. We say we are the church, but what kind of church? Can you really say with the best conscience that we are a golden lampstand and Fayin? It's not easy. A golden lampstand. A lampstand out of gold. Are you out of gold? And I want to ask, I will have to ask myself how much gold have I bought myself and not just ask if we are a golden lampstand here in Fountain Valley. Sharon, how much gold have you bought? A lot of gold? How much gold have we bought? White garments. What about our walk? Do we walk with the Lord? Do we walk with God? If you walk with Christ, Would you dare to state your opinion in every matter, concerning every matter? I think if I walked with Christ or walked, were walking next to him, I would keep my mouth shut. No one would dare say anything. But what about us? We say whatever we want to say. We say our opinions. We just say our opinions in every matter. What I like, what I don't like. But we don't ask what the Lord likes, what pleases Him. And at the end, we are His counselor. Who would dare to be His counselor? Or who dares to be his counselor? John Yao, do you want to be his counselor? No, of course not. Of course, if someone asks us this question, we will say, of course not. No. But what about in reality? In reality, we have often said, Lord, do this, do that. Lord, you have to do this for me. Lord, do this. Oh, Lord, this problem, you have to do this and you have to do that. We are his counselors. Toby, are you his counselor? Then please don't say in your prayer, Lord, you should do this. Oh, Lord, do that. Oh Lord, you have to do this and do that. And we have this problem, you have to quickly deal with it. And the sister is so terrible, and we are his counselors. Maybe the Lord put this problem there on purpose to expose me and to expose you. But then we've told the Lord, take it away. This is a problem. But it's not a problem for the Lord, it's a problem for you. And including myself, we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn before the Lord comes. Don't be his counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. He is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of counsel. He gives us counsel. I told the saints in Fountain Valley, do not be God's counselor. But it has to be the other way around. He should be our counselor. If the Lord were to ask you, when he asks you a question, you should say, Lord, you know. We should learn from Zechariah. Lord, you know. If the Lord asks you something, learn to give no answer. And then you are a wise man. Lord, you know. I don't know. Lord, show me, speak to me. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways, your methods. I don't want to be his counselor. Yeah, his ways. Regardless of how many problems there are in your own life or in the church life, ask him in prayer. In prayer, we're often his counselors. That's why often the person who prays is the one speaking the whole time, and the Lord has no chance to say anything. And then you say, Amen, Amen, Amen. And the Lord has nothing to say. You say Amen to your own prayer. Then you should also fulfill everything yourself. And then God will say, fine, then fulfill your own prayer. Why do you think the Lord spoke as a trumpet to John on the island of Patmos? Toby, what would you think if you had been on the island of Patmos? If you had been on Patmos and if you had sat there, what would you have thought? This, would you have thought, oh, praise the Lord for the seven golden lampstands? When we pray for the church, what do we pray? Do we say, Lord, bless the precious saints? Everyone is so precious. All the saints are your good pleasure, but they're not my good pleasure. The saints are so precious. But then we often pray, Lord, why is he still here? We have lots of things to complain about, or lots of accusations concerning the saints. Paul, as an apostle, he prayed for all the saints. He didn't complain about them. He's not an accuser of the brethren. Are you an accuser of the brethren? Simon, do you want to be an accuser of the brethren? Or do you want to be one who blesses the saints? I would rather bless. Yeah, we shouldn't be accusers of the brethren. This accuser of the brethren. We want to bless the saints. We want to love the saints. intercede for them. Do you think that as the high priest, he always complained before the Father? Father, look at John so. After such a long time, he is still so impossible. Do you think that's how the Lord prays for me? Is this how he intercedes for me all the time? He complains about me and you and the church here and the church there. When we pray for the saints, but we don't actually pray for them, we accuse them. This is not the prayer in front of the incense, the golden incense altar. Toby, what's the difference between the experience at the burnt offering altar and the experience at the golden incense altar? What's the difference? Help me, Toby. You know. You know. No, the Lord knows it. First of all, there's a difference in size, right? The burnt offering altar is very big. And this golden incense altar is small, not very big. But even though it's small, it's made out of gold, overlaid with gold, with pure gold. But the burnt offering altar is overlaid with what? Copper. Copper from where? Where did they get the copper from? Korah's pans? So did Korah donate this? No. This copper came from the rebellious people. That wanted to bring incense, but were rebellious. The whole, all of Korah, they were all swallowed up by the earth, but these copper vessels were brought. They were all, consumed by fire. And the Lord told Moses, collect all the copper vessels and hammer them flat. So that'll be like flat pieces of copper, and then use it to overlay the burnt offering altar. So, this burnt offering altar, if we see it, it should remind us that we're all so rebellious. That's why it's the cross of the Lord. On this cross, He nailed our old nature, our rebellious self, our sin, our terrible nature, He took it upon himself on the cross. Everything that I am, everything that's so negative, that's so dark, that's so black, the Lord carried it upon himself on the cross. So when we see this burnt offering altar and we see Jesus on the cross, then we have to see why has he died? Or why did he die? It's because we are rebellious. We are full of sin. We are sinful. Even if we're religious, we're still sinful. Do we do the will of the Father? Are we always obedient to him, Roland? No, quite the contrary. Even though you're a Christian? Yes. Are you saved? Born again? Yes. And then you're still rebellious? Yes, something's not right in me. That's why we need a burnt offering, Jesus Christ, as our burnt offering. Why? Because you and I are incapable of doing the will of God. And if we try to do the will of God and will of the Father, and we want to do it, then at the end, the more we do, the more problematic things will be in the church. Then we think the others are rebellious, the others are not right, and I'm the right one. My goodness. That's why we have so many opinions. That's why we need a burnt offering. We need a meal offering. Roland, help me. What is the meal offering? Fine flour, right? Is that a picture of you? No, but from our wonderful Lord. That's why we need the fine flour in the meal offering. Are you ready and do you like to go through all the sufferings like the Lord did? When your wife says something that you don't like, then what do you do? Do you go through this oven? Or does fire come out of your eyes and nose and ears and mouth? The meal offering shows us that our humanity is incapable for the plan of God or not sufficient for the plan of God. So our old man is judged there. And he bore all of our sins and our trespasses upon himself. Yeah, we are not fit to do God's will, carry out his will. So we need these burnt offering experiences. We need to experience him as the meal offering, as the peace offering. I have never seen a person who is 100% peaceable or or a sister who's full of peace. That's why there's so many problems in the church. There's a German name called Friedemann, that's a man of peace. But how much peace is there? At the end, this man of peace is an evil man. His name is called Man of Peace. Without peace. Yeah, we are without peace, so we also need this, and we also need the sin and trespass offering. And that's why all the offerings are there. They're there for us. That's why God wants us to bring all these offerings and the best of these offerings to Him. If not Christ, then what do you want to bring as a peace offering to the Father or as a meal offering to the Father? Meal offering without leaven, with salt, with frankincense. So fine. Ready to go through every situation and to be baked in every situation. This is the whole point. All these offerings are Christ. But they are there to save us from our fallen nature, from ourself. And it's for our transformation, for our full salvation until the uttermost. We think the Father needs it. Of course, he's desired it of us or wanted it of us because we need it for our sakes. So if we don't consciously experience these and treasure these offerings as priests, we have to not only experience them, but we have to appreciate them, treasure them, to realize that this is what I need. And the Father says it's his food. Of course, it's his food. And he really enjoys this food, but it is for us, for me. For my transformation. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. But is that your inward sense that you have been crucified with Christ? Do you think Paul said that out of knowledge, theological knowledge? He really meant it seriously. No, it is no longer I who live. Amen. But we all still live. I'm still who I am. After so many years, this can't be. And this is quite important. All these things are not teaching. It's not an empty teaching. The word is not empty. It's living, it's operative, effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword and pierces. In these last times, before the Lord comes, we have to recognize this, realize this, and exercise ourselves in this, that no longer, it is no longer I who live. I want you to live in me. And for this, it is important to always turn to the Lord in every situation. You are my life. Otherwise, at the end, we are dead like Sardis and we won't even know it. At the end of this age, it should be an age of reality, of the spiritual life. It's a time where we really gain Christ. And to want to gain Christ all the time. Otherwise, everything that we have heard, everything that we have read, not just in this conference, but also over the last years, over the last years and so many years, the word is medicine, it's life, it's food. Toby mentioned it this as well about the hidden manna. How often have you eaten this hidden manna? How often have we all eaten of this hidden manna? How often do we think about the hidden manna in the golden pot? In Christ Jesus, hidden in Christ Jesus. This is the food for the overcomers. This is very important. All these points shouldn't just be teaching for us, especially now. We don't have much more time. But we have to tell the Lord, Lord, give me to eat of this hidden manna, not just of the showbread. Showbread is good, but we need it's normal priestly food. But there's food that's even hidden, but it's only for those who overcome, the overcomers. If you have a desire to be an overcomer, then you have to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't just want to eat of the showbread. I want to that which is hidden. I want this hidden food. Amen. That no one knows. It depends on whether or not you've tasted it. It's a matter of taste, of having tasted it. Lord, give us this food. But if you are serious about becoming an overcomer, then you have to get to this hidden food. Lord said that I have food of which you do not know. He also ate of the hidden food. It was special food from the Father. I have food which you do not know. there's someone in Africa that thinks we have hidden books from Watchman Nee. No, I have no hidden books, do you? The Lord is a wonderful Lord. We all have to seek Him. He who seeks finds. Why do you have to seek? Because it's hidden. Or is what we know already sufficient? No, we have eaten what's before our eyes, but we want to eat what is hidden. Lord, show me. Lord, I need this food. Right, Simon? Praise the Lord. Amen. I know Simon is a seeking one. He who seeks finds. If we stop seeking, then we get lazy. Don't be lazy. Be a seeking one. We want to have more from Jesus. We want to have that which is hidden. That's why Paul had this wonderful attitude. Not that I have already attained, but I pursue. That means he's seeking. That means he wants more. That's why it says in the word that there are the unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't want more knowledge. I want to know what we need to know to make it. That's what I want to know. Or not? Is that not the case? The Lord has a lot to show us. But for why would the Lord show us something if He knows we have no desire to do it? If He knows we don't want to do it, and we just And if he knows that we just want knowledge, but we don't want to act accordingly, then we are lazy then. I sometimes remember German words from before. We want to be diligent to pursue, to gain Christ, to gain Christ more and to lay hold of him more with all the saints, all the dimensions. That's why we need a strong inner man to lay hold of His love, which surpasses all knowledge, to be filled with the fullness of God. These are extreme words. Extreme. We pursue so many things that are useless, worldly things. But do we pursue the true gold, the true essence of Christ, and all these heavenly materials? We have no desire to pursue them. This should be the attitude of priests. That's why the priest shouldn't pursue possessions in the good land, and shouldn't say, "Oh, all of them have an inheritance, and I don't, and I want this, and I also want that, and I want even more." They are not satisfied that this living God is our portion. What do you still need? Simon and Christine, hallelujah. Are you coming to California? Good question. Are you looking for Californian gold? No, we want to look for the heavenly riches. But it's just as rich and fine. We are in Zion. Amen. We want to pursue him. He's the true riches. The gold of this earth is nothing. Sometimes it's more expensive, and sometimes then it's cheap, and at the end, it's useless. And then you want this and that. I think if God were to look at us, he would say, "What a pitiful, pitiful people. They don't want the true riches, and they pursue earthly riches." What kind of riches are in Germany today that are so precious? Nothing, really. Everything is going downhill. It's bankrupt. It's not just bankrupt, but the earth is opening its mouth wide to swallow it all up. Look at Iran. In such a short amount of time, everything is gone. Four weeks ago, they had everything, and after 4 weeks, everything has disappeared. Regardless of whether it's superficially on the earth or 100 meters below the earth, everything is gone. Nothing will remain on this earth. This is what 2 Peter 3 says. Everything will become ashes, will turn to ashes. And today we already see the ashes. Right? Look at what happened in southern Italy. The earth is hungry now, it's opening its mouth. The Earth is not just sighing, it's saying it's enough. Now it's our turn who we're going to swallow and devour. The earth has opened itself up. There are volcanoes that are erupting. There's weather, there's so many calamities, floods, and everything else. They're practicing for opening the sixth seal. They're practicing. They're practicing. It's a rehearsal. What is this small town called in Switzerland? Platten? Overnight, it was gone. The whole side of the mountain came down and covered everything. They also were practicing of how to destroy everything. Many places, also in California. Suddenly, the earth opens its mouth, and a big part of the freeway was swallowed up. I don't dare take trips now. But who knows? No one knows. No one knows. It's not so easy. That's why it's not just about the conference. But the Lord has to speak to each one of us daily. Amen. And what we have heard has to be put into practice. Otherwise, it will not profit us. It will be useless. It'll be of no use. So praise the Lord. But I just want to confirm that this priestly service is not just so that we would serve, but that we would gain Christ and serve God according to this wonderful Christ. Also, the Lord became the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the peak of what he reached as a man. He became the king of righteousness, the king of peace. And such a high priest is walking in our midst, if we really are Zion and if we really are the golden lampstand. The Lord had this wonderful this wonderful position that he swore that he would be a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We have such a wonderful high priest, and we want to know him today because a priesthood without the high priest, sorry, he had this status, not position, of being the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So is any one of us a high priest, or is anyone the assistant of the high priest? Who is the assistant of the high priest in Vaihingen, in Zurich? In Fountain Valley? Who is his assistant? Does he need one? No, he is the highest, the great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without end of days. And like the Son of Man, he serves us, ministers to us with his indestructible life. Which pastor is such a high priest? I see Iris from Zurich. Greetings from the Lord. Who can replace him? Why do we want an assistant if we have the great high priest ourselves? We have such a high priest. That's what it says. We have such a great high priest. So go to him all the time. Let him show us more how we can serve him as priests. And what a wonderful priestly garment, wonderful white linen. He alone is the high priest, is the only one who puts on this garment. He alone can bear it, can wear it. But we are all priests. It is good if we all put on fine white linen and follow him and do what he says. So praise the Lord. I don't know if this is the end of your conference or not. Forgive me if it wasn't a closing word, so to say. We have such a high priest. Trust in him all the time and go to him. And he is near us. On the one hand, he's the high priest he is with the Father who intercedes with us all the time. On the other hand, he is among us and so practical, and he exposes us in our current situation and what we need so that we can make it and reach the goal that we would all be able to overcome. Trust in him. Amen. And as Hebrews says, and this is the main point, Hebrews 8. Now, this is the main point. Okay, Roland? Amen. Amen and amen. What is the main point? Oh, man, we have such a high priest who is among us. And he walks daily all the time, so closely to us. We can come to him at any time. If you don't come to him, he comes to us. Yeah, praise the Lord. So, amen. From now on until the end of this year. Let us, without ceasing, come to this high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Let us come to him all the time. He will help us. That's what he's there for, and that he is very, very capable. He knows our weaknesses, he knows our condition, he knows our problems, he knows everything, and he will help. Christians know about the cross. And at the end of the Bible, it's the great high priest. And as John saw him, he had great fear. And we have to really behold him as he is, and then we would also have fear. It's not good to serve without fear. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen, Sandra. The high priest be with you all. Even if you're alone somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us be so one with him and pray for one another and intercede for one another. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. See you soon. Amen.